In the world of paleontology, there's a debate over whether dinosaurs were warm or cold-blooded, and just how quickly they grew up. Dr. Michael Demick is a paleontologist at Adelphi University in New York. He spoke with Wyoming Public Radio's Maggie Mullen in anticipation of a talk he'll give on the University of Wyoming's campus about his research.
It's like the hidden side of paleontology. You always hear about these great discoveries, but you don't hear about the years of work that go into getting them. I think most great fossil discoveries, you could trace them back, if you go far back enough, to not a scientist kind of blindly, you know, deciding, okay, I'm going to go to Wyoming and I'm going to go to this particular layer. Usually the historical roots of where we know fossils are go back to the people that are already living in the area. So ranchers, hunters, hikers, things like that, who will just be out and about and come across something, and then they'll notify the local museum or a college or something like that, and then we'll get clued in, right? So we would need an army to actually explore on our own. But luckily, you know, there's a really rich history, especially in Wyoming, of local families that have helped paleontologists now for generations.
You have a pretty active field season in northern Wyoming. So what kind of fossils do you look for?
I'm more interested in whole ecosystem reconstruction. So we picked a certain layer of rock that I specialize in, I guess, or I study particularly, and that's called the Cloverleaf Formation. It's really kind of vivid, striped purple and red and white formation you see all around Wyoming. And we basically look to reconstruct that whole ecosystem of that formation that it holds. And so we find not just dinosaurs, but we found mammal fossils and fish and plants and turtles in an effort to really understand what life was like at the time.
There's a debate in paleontology whether or not dinosaurs were warm or cold-blooded. What's your research led you to believe?
So far, what we found is the answer is a little bit both. That, like today, big, diverse groups of animals tend to have large, diverse metabolisms and growth strategies. So I think the public and even scientists to some degree can tend to think of dinosaurs as this one group, when really we're dealing with hundreds and hundreds of species that lived in all different environments across Earth for, tens and hundreds of millions of years. So their diversity of growth rates and of metabolisms is reflected in that.
And I understand that that debate is a little bit contentious among paleontologists. Why is that?
I think it's contentious because it's a new debate and it's an old debate. Since the naming of the word dinosaur, since the first recognition of the group, people have been trying to reconstruct how they grew and what their metabolism was like, really breathe life into them. And in large part, that was pretty speculative in the beginning, I would say. And it's only recently, in the past couple of decades, that people have started coming up with rigorous quantitative ways to test these kinds of ideas.
Can you tell us about your upcoming talk in Laramie?
So my talk, it's going to focus on how we do these reconstructions that I've been telling you about. So you start with a dinosaur bone. In the end, how do you figure out was it warm-blooded or cold-blooded? How do you figure out how fast it grew, how long it lived, all those kinds of questions? And then what can we tell about bigger patterns in the history of life? Can we tell that, for example, is it true that when something evolves a larger body size, it accelerates that development, or does it just take longer to develop at the same rate? Are there any overarching patterns, or is it just random and depends on the ecology of the individual dinosaur? That's an open question that I'm seeking to answer.
And that actually reminds me of, you know, something I wanted to ask, sort of larger picture. You know, what are the implications of, you know, rethinking whether or not dinosaurs were warm or cold-blooded, or how quickly they grew up?
I think what it does is it brings them into a sense of reality, or it lets them view lets us view them much more just as animals living today. So rather than treating them as some sort of alien, extinct, old life form that's totally different, we're really learning that they had a lot in common with some animals today. Most, most strongly the birds, which are just the group of dinosaurs that haven't gone extinct. They're the group of dinosaurs that's with us still today.
Well, Dr. Demick, thank you so much for your time.
All right, thanks. Great talking to you.